the stars of the night walk the Savior of light in the garden of dew-laden breeze. Where no light could be found, Jesus knelt on the ground. There he prayed neath the old olive trees. Neath the old olive trees, neath the old olive trees, went the Savior alone on his knees. Not my will, thine be done, cried the Father's own Son, as he knelt neath the old olive tree. All the sins of the world on the Savior was hurled, as he knelt in the garden alone. Hear his soul burdened plea, let this cup pass from me, even so, not my will, thine be done. Neath the old olive trees, neath the old olive trees, went the Savior alone on his knees. Not my will, thine be done, cried the Father's own Son, as he knelt neath the old olive tree. May my song ever be of the love proffered me by my Lord all alone on his knees. Praise his wonderful name, he who bore all my blame, as he knelt neath the old olive tree. Neath the old olive trees, neath the old olive trees, went the Savior alone on his knees. Not my will, thine be done, cried the Father's own Son, as he knelt neath the old olive tree.
Amen. Amen, amen. Well, it's not very often that I get to preach on a Sunday morning. Usually when I get to preach, it's on Sunday night. So here this morning, I feel like I've been called up to the big leagues. Okay, I feel like I've been in AAA, batting for the Mud Hens for a while, and now I'm up here in the Major League batting for the Tigers. I love it. I'm so excited to be with you all this morning. I'm so excited to be able to share the Word of God this morning, and I trust and I pray that the Lord will use this message to speak to your hearts and to really, really help us understand what it means to be a disciple of Christ. Years ago, I came across this fun little game that I started to really like to play that really helps you to get to know people a little bit better. It's a game called Would You Rather. Anybody ever play that game before? A few of you? Okay. I'm gonna start off with a few silly Would You Rather questions here this morning. I hope you guys don't mind. Would you rather have fingers as long as your legs, or legs as short as your fingers? Okay, who says they would rather have legs as short as their fingers? Anybody? Anybody at all? Okay, we got one over there. How many would say they'd rather have fingers as long as their legs? All right, we got a couple. A lot of people aren't participating. Come on, it's only fun if we participate. How many of you would rather, okay, here are the choices. Would you rather every time you hiccup confetti, or whenever you sneeze sparkles? Okay, who says hiccup confetti? Anybody? Okay, we got a couple hiccup confettis over here on this side. How many of you would say I'd rather sneeze sparkles? All right, we got a few of those as well. Pretty well split down the middle. Would you rather, we're going to get into some that are a little more realistic here, okay? Would you rather be rich or famous? I know a lot of times those two go hand in hand, but in this case, you can only pick one or the other. How many would say you'd rather be rich? Okay? About half of you, so I'm assuming the other half would say, I'd rather be famous. All right, we got a couple of hands up there. A couple of us would rather be famous than rich. Would you rather be a leader or a follower? Okay, this one really starts to speak. It helps us to really get to know who we are. Would you rather be a leader or a follower? How many would say, I'd rather be a leader? Okay, there's a few. How many would say, I'd rather be a follower? Nothing wrong with being a follower. Jesus' 12 disciples, they were followers of Christ, and there's nothing wrong whatsoever with being a follower. Hey, now here's one that here's one that's a little bit more on the silly side. Okay, would you rather kick a puppy, or would you rather make a baby cry? Okay, this is a hard one. This is a hard one, right? I'm not gonna ask you guys to actually answer that one. This is really a fun and easy challenge to ask people to really start to get to know somebody. Okay, you can use that for some pretty deep conversations, right? Something that I have learned early in playing this game is that both sides need to be fairly balanced, though. Okay, as a youth pastor, I learned very quick that teenage girls are usually pretty good with this. But when you ask a middle school boy to come up with a would you rather question, okay, it's not really balanced at all. They say, would you rather have ice cream or be beaten to death, okay? And their choices aren't really equal, right? But when a girl's design a question, it's really pretty well balanced, and it's really easy to converse with those. But a boy designs a question to win. All right? That's why males have zero chance at understanding females. Okay? I've been married for a few months now, and I already know there's no way I'm going to be able to fully understand my wife. I'm going to try my best, but it's probably not going to happen. Those of you that are young people here today, Peyton, David, good luck is all I got to say. Good luck. But that's a message for another time. Would you rather is not a new concept at all. It's something that we have been asking ourselves for generations as a human race. As odd as it may sound, God has been revealing the would you rather question since the beginning of humanity. Ever since the beginning, God's question is, would you rather live your way or live God's way? Would you rather live the status quo, same old, go with the flow kind of life, simply a survival type of life, or would you rather live an adventurous life dedicated to serving and following Jesus? Ever since the Garden of Eden, we see that God has said, okay, you have a choice. You can serve the devil, you can go your own way, and you can eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which I told you not to do. You can follow yourselves, go your own way, or you can follow me and do as I have asked. Ever since the beginning, God has been asking would you rather questions. I'm sure that God has a preferred answer, but as an expression of his gracious love, he has offered us an opportunity to choose. Obviously, God would rather us go his way, right? He would rather us live for him. He would rather us serve him. He has a preferred answer, but because he wants our love, he gave us a choice. Which way are we going to go? Today, I want to look at a question of would you rather be a Christian or a disciple? Would you rather just be a Christian and be okay with just getting by with the bare minimum? Or would you rather be a disciple, a follower of our Lord Jesus Christ? I want to try to bring a little clarity to the word Christian, what it actually means. For so many of us, being a Christian is merely a believing that Jesus came to earth, lived a sinless life, died on the cross in payment for our sins, okay? The gospel message. We believe in those things, then therefore we are a Christian, right? That's what the Bible teaches us a Christian is. But this superficial meaning of Christian has created problems, essentially. Essentially, we have a lot of Christians who believe it on the inside, but they don't live it on the outside. They're merely believing a few things of God to be true and calling themselves a Christian. They don't resemble any of the things that Jesus teaches in his word. They don't resemble godly character, and yet they say that they believe in Jesus. The word Christian seems to have lost its meaning over the years. Kind of like the word love has over the years, right? I love my family. I love my wife. I love donuts. I love Michigan Wolverines sports. I love playing games. I love music, Kit Kats. I love my job. I love working here at the church. I love sunsets. I love movies. I love free things. How many can say an amen to that? I love burgers. I love steak, pizza. I love my friends. I love to sing. I love Chick-fil-A, except for living here when the nearest one's an hour away. And I love Jesus above all else. But the word love over the years has become a neutered word. It has lost its true meaning. The word love begins to have some type of meaning when it's expressed. The love someone may have for donuts is not the same kind of love they have for their family and so on and so forth. The word love in each situation has a different meaning. The same is true of the word Christian. A Christian to one person can be completely different about what it means to be a Christian to somebody else. You ask a person who comes to Calvary Baptist Church, we'll give you one definition of what it means to be a Christian. But you go to some mosque down the road and you ask them what it means to be a Christian, they're going to probably give you something completely different, right? Being a Christian means something different in each and every situation. The word Christian has been so beaten down. It has been so weakened over the years. It has been so completely changed, the definition, that there's absolutely no action behind it anymore. The word Christian only appears three times in the Bible. Okay? Only three times. And it's not ever defined in Scripture. Do you know what the term is that the people who followed Jesus was called? It wasn't Christian, it was disciple. That is what they were called. That's what Jesus called his followers. He called them disciples, not Christians. It is a disciple. The definition of the word disciple, it can be a terrifying term for us at every now and then when we think about it. Because it is very clearly defined in Scripture, right? Where you see the word disciple and you know what it means when reading a Bible. But the word Christian, you can be a Christian and believe almost anything, right? You can be a Christian and adopt any kind of lifestyle that you wish. Oh, I'm a Christian and this is what I believe. Describe a form of the word Christian that supports your decisions. So many of us, that's what we do. The difference between a Christian and disciple is simply this. Being a Christian is about what one believes, but being a disciple is about what a person actually does. And that's a big difference. Another way that we could look at it could be that a Christian often becomes an act, but a disciple often becomes an action. It always involves an action of some kind. A lot of people like to act like Christians. A lot of people like to come to church on Sunday and put on their facade and pretend like they're just like everybody else that's here. They're all perfect and never sin and never have any issues with life. So they put on that act. And they think that they're Christians because they're not Muslims, they're not Buddhists, they're not atheists, or any other ist that is out there. Or they think that they're a Christian because they were born in a Christian family and they have Christian parents. which has always been a really interesting theory to me, okay? People who think that they're Christian because their parents are Christian, it's always really been interesting to me. Because according to that logic, if you were born in a Starbucks, that would make you a Frappuccino, okay? Right? If I was born in a Starbucks, according to that logic, if you're a Christian, if your parents are Christian, that must mean you're a Christian. If you're born in a Starbucks, that must make you a Frappuccino, some kind of coffee, right? That's just really crazy to me. I've heard some use the word apprentice in the same way that they've used the word disciple. Now, that's interesting to me. An apprentice is someone who follows the master teacher, the master of the craft, and they learn from them, they glean from them. A master carpenter teaches his apprentice how to shape the wood in the proper way, how to get all of those intricate designs and in whatever it is that they're creating. If you want to be a carpenter, you want to apprentice somebody who is a master carpenter. You will be an apprentice until you have learned everything that master has to give you. Until you are as good or better than that master carpenter is, you will continue to be an apprentice. So for a minute, consider yourself to be an apprentice to the Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine that you are his apprentice. He is the master carpenter, teaching you how to live your life, teaching you how to go about your daily life and serving him to your full extent that you possibly have. That changes a lot of things for us, doesn't it? No longer are we going to be okay with just kind of going through the motions. Just saying that we're a Christian but not living like it. Because we have a master teacher and we want to become that master one day. And that should be our ultimate goal, to learn as much as we can from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we possibly can. We are trying to glean every ounce of knowledge from him. I love the imagery of an apprentice, of being an apprentice to Jesus. And that's a good way for us to think about a disciple. As a disciple, your apprenticeship with Jesus is never over until your life is indistinguishable from that of Jesus's. Until somebody looks at you and they see absolutely nothing but Jesus, your apprenticeship is never over. And if we're going to be honest with ourselves, we look at that and we say, that seems like a pretty impossible task. Being completely and totally like Jesus all the time. And you're right, it is almost an impossible feat. But that doesn't mean we aren't to continue to grow. We are to continue to be his apprentice, to continue to be his disciple, continuing to make other disciples as well. Your apprenticeship with Jesus isn't over until your life is indistinguishable from his. The first group of followers of Jesus, they seem to embrace the title, the followers of the way. This appears to mean that the early disciples of Jesus had chosen to live their lives a different way, the way of Jesus. You have your Bible with you. Go ahead and turn over to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5 this morning. The early disciples have been given this title of followers of the way. This different way is masterfully communicated in Jesus' most famous, well-known sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. So we're here in our Bibles, Matthew chapter 5. Here Jesus paints us a picture of how we ought to be different, of how we ought to be those apprentices of him, how we should be that disciple of his. We're in Matthew chapter number 5. Let's read verses 13 through 16. The Bible says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall he be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Jesus uses these two different images here in this passage to help us understand how we are to be different. He uses salt and he uses light. Why salt? Well, during biblical times, there was no refrigeration at all. Right? You didn't have a refrigerator. You couldn't just pull things out, put some meat in the freezer that you wanted to save for a couple of weeks and expect it to still be good. Right? There was none of that. It didn't exist. So they used salt as a preservative to counteract the decay in their meat. Salt, really, when you mix it in and your food, how many of you really like salty food? Okay? You really like your salty food? I do too. I really love the flavor of salt. When you mix your salt into your stew or your soup or whatever it is that you have, you don't see that salt, right? You can't see it. It's been dissolved into it, but you can still taste it. It can still be experienced. I love salty food. When I like to eat popcorn, I like to take a ton of salt, just pour it all over there. And other people, they take a bite of that, and they're just like, immediately they need like 5 gallons of water because their mouth is so dried out from all the salt. That's how much salt I like in my popcorn. I love it. I actually like to add salt to my salt, okay? I love it. Jesus is saying here that you're the salt to the world around you. People can't see God, right? We can't see him. We look up to the sky. We don't see him physically. But they are to sense us. They are to sense him through us, through our lives. The way that we live, the way that we go about and we conduct ourselves in our everyday lives should be a representation of who Jesus is. They should be able to look at us and sense God through our lives. Salt isn't seen, but it is often sensed. Now with light, Jesus says the same thing. Okay, he says we are salt of the earth. And now he goes on the other side and he says that we are the light of the world. While salt is a powerful, invisible nature to it, light has an obvious visible experience. Okay, just a little bit of light can permeate even the darkest of darkness. Salt is sensed, but light is seen. Bottom line, the followers of the way, the disciples, as they are called to be sensed and seen in the midst of a world full of decay and darkness. People should be able to sense God through us, and not just sense his spirit upon our lives, but they should be able to see him through us as well. This is what I want you to get. Jesus didn't come to simply enhance your life through religious rules. You should live this way. You shouldn't live that way. All these different lists of things that we can put on here, things that we should do, things that we shouldn't do, that's not what Jesus came for. That's not why God allowed us to be followers of him. He came to transform your life, to revolutionize your life, to empower your life to be something so much more. He called you to live different, to invite you on this incredible journey that he wants you to live, that only he knows, but he so desperately wants for you. To follow him and experience this richer, deeper, more radical and meaningful life that you can have through him. Today, Jesus might say, some of you, you've heard it said before, go to church, read your Bible, tithe, listen to sermons, serve. But I tell you this, surrender your heart to me, follow me, learn from me, be my apprentice, and allow me to transform you and mold you into my likeness. Let's take a look at where this depth starts. Where does all of this start? I want to give you 3 would you rather questions that I believe will help us to honestly answer, if you want to live something more than just that title of being a Christian, if you want to be something more than just a Christian, you want to be a disciple of His, these three questions will help us get there. Question one is a question of desire. Am I really drawn to follow Jesus, or would I rather just play the part? Would you rather play the part, or would you rather be drawn to Jesus? Playing the part is really easy to do. You look at Photoshop, okay? You could take somebody's head on a picture and put it on somebody else's body. You could take my head and put it on Spider-Man's face. That doesn't make me Spider-Man, right? For some, playing the part of a Christian is going to church, singing, knowing some of those key words, saved, brother, sister, redeemed, the cross, hallelujah, amen, okay? But this really is a question of desire. Am I really drawn to follow Jesus? Is that really what is drawing me in my life? Is that my motivating factor for my life? Before you give your Christian answer, of course I want to be drawn by Jesus, let's consider some of the cost. Following Jesus is not owning the title of Christian. It's giving up ownership of being in charge. When you said, I accept Jesus as my Savior, I accept Him to save me of my sins, you were saying that you were willing to give up who you were in exchange for who God wanted you to be. That's what you did. That's what you were saying when you accepted Jesus as your Savior, is giving up ownership of being in charge. It's saying yes to an apprenticeship intended to change you into a better you. The call to follow is so radical, it's so revolutionary, so countercultural, and it's so different. Jesus said, when somebody slaps you, to turn the other cheek. When somebody sues you to take your shirt, you should hand over your coat as well. When somebody does wrong to you, you should love your enemies. Pray for those who hate you. When somebody is in need, you should give to them. Give without bragging about it. Before you consider judging others about the speck inside of their eye, get the huge plank out of your own eye first. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying that there is a cost to discipleship. There is a cost, and it all starts with desire. Consider a morning prayer. Right when you wake up, Lord, I desire to live for Jesus today. I desire you to invade all areas of my life. That is my heart's desire, to live for you. And when I pray that now, I have to live it. When you pray something like that to God, you're not just saying those words flippantly. You're supposed to go and live it now. Which brings us to our second question. First was a question of desire. Second is a question of decision. Am I really willing to not do my plans, or would I rather do what is best for me? Would you rather do what is best for you, or continue on with your own plans? Would you rather? This is not a huge question. This is a daily question that we need to answer for ourselves each and every single day. You know, personally, this is the question that I dislike the most, okay? Because it takes me and from my plans what I want to do and makes me start to think, okay, what would Jesus rather me do? All of the plans that I have for my life are not the same that Jesus has for me. There are some things that I think, oh, this is how my life should go. I should have a big house with a nice big truck and be able to have all this yard and property. That's the way I think my life should go. But God says, no, you don't need all that. All you need is me. It's a question of desire, and it's also a question of decision. The comfort that I've designed for myself is really important, and I'm sure it is for all of you as well. We don't like being uncomfortable, right? We don't. We don't like being in uncomfortable situations. We don't like having to struggle financially. We don't like to deal with all of these issues. We like our comfort. The life that I've mapped out for myself is an awesome life. But here's the tension. My natural plan springs from my selfishness. I can be very selfish from time to time, and I'm guessing I'm not alone in that as well. So here's a little humorous illustration of being selfish. Okay, I go out to eat with my wife. Okay, we go to a restaurant. She's not here, so I can pick on her a little bit. Okay, she's out in Children's Church right now. So we go out to eat, and I order a meal, and I get my French fries, and I get all the things that I want. My wife orders her meal, and she doesn't order any French fries, okay? She says, oh, I don't want any fries. I'm good without. And so we get our order, and here comes her little hand coming over to my plate and trying to grab fries off my plate, okay? And here I am, and I said, and from the very beginning, I told her, if you want fries, you're going to have to order them because you're not getting any of my fries. Those are my fries. I ordered them because I want them. If you wanted fries, you should have ordered your own. And she says, oh, but I didn't want that many. I said, so what? These are mine. I ordered them. I'm eating them. Okay? That's selfishness, right? My decision was to order fries for me so that I could eat them, right? Or another example, when we go to a fast food place and we go inside, we park our car and we see somebody else coming in, about to go in the door at the same time. Kind of do a little bit, you walk a little bit faster to get there in front of them so that you can order first, right? Anybody else ever do that? I know I have. Yeah. Or how about this one? When somebody sits in our seat at church. Okay? Especially when it's a visitor. Okay? That really bugs me. Somebody sits in our seat at church, it's a visitor, and somebody goes up to that visitor and says, hey, that's my seat. Do you mind moving? Don't ever do that. Just saying. Don't ever do that. So that's the easiest way to get that visitor not to come back. Okay? But here's the deal. I'm not as selfish as I used to be. As an apprentice, as a disciple of Jesus, I'm learning from Jesus just how to be less selfish. I'm learning about how my selfishness affects those around me as well. And how to release my plans in exchange for God's best for my life. I'm also learning, and this is really cool, that when I surrender my plans for Jesus' plans, for his plans, he supports and rewards those decisions. How awesome is that? When I surrender my goals for my life in exchange for what God would have for me, he rewards those decisions. And he gives me things that I never would have imagined having before. Bible tells us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. Just one chapter over from where we're at in our passage. Okay, seek. Seek. Desire. Seek ye. It's that desire that we talked about. Our desire should be to what? It should be the kingdom of God. The ways of Jesus. It says to seek the kingdom of God, seek ye first. Takes priority over all of those things that I had on my own agenda. And what else does it say there? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Adopting the righteousness of Christ into our lives is all about our actions. What we do, what we say, where we go, the decisions that we make, all of it, giving up those choices for ourselves and putting them on him. Living my life as an apprentice to Jesus means two things. It means obtaining a blessing, favor, reward, prize, and it also means sacrifice. You know what that means. As a disciple of Jesus, as an apprentice of his, there are going to be some things that you're going to have to give up. There are going to be some things that you are going to have to let go of. I love to talk about the good things that come with being a disciple. All of those rewards, all of those benefits that come with it. But I also need to be reminded that the first disciples of Jesus, they were tortured, they were beaten, they were killed. All these things happened to them. And that was on a good day. All right? Being a disciple of Jesus is losing my plans in exchange for His. It's making His way my primary concern. What's that look like in our everyday life? One, Jesus says, would you rather serve others in need, or two, be comfortable in serving yourself? Which way do you step? Serving others or serving yourself? Number two, Jesus says, would you rather follow me and forgive that person who has wronged you, or follow your own plans and seek revenge? Which one is your step? Number three, would you rather be a person of integrity and cheat, lie your way to the top? Or would you rather be a person of integrity who doesn't cheat, who doesn't lie, in order to make it there? Which way do you step? Or number four, would you rather follow me and allow me to mold you into my likeness and learn to express your anger in appropriate ways? Or would you rather keep losing your temper, yelling at your friends, your family, your coworkers? Here's what a lot of Christians do, okay? Here's what a lot of them do. They believe in Jesus, okay? They got that part right. Until following Him messes up their plans. They had all these plans that they had for their own life, and they were following Him until it immediately changed what they had planned for their life. Then they stopped following Him whatsoever. They choose their own way, and they act surprised when their way doesn't turn out right. They sit here, and they know God told them to go that way, but they go this way instead, and then they're all surprised. Why is this happening to me? Oh, woe is me. My life is terrible. God is always out there trying to punish me. He never lets me do anything I want. And we're all surprised when that happens. It gets me every time. Most of the pain and heartache that I hear from different people from time to time always points back to this. People choose their way over Jesus' way. The vast majority of our heartache comes when we choose ourselves over God. When you combine desire and decision, it results in devotion. So the third question here tonight, here this morning, is a question of devotion. What am I building my life upon? A disciple builds his or her life on the solid rock, on the rock of Christ. A Christian builds their life upon the sand, an act that is easily wiped out. Matthew chapter 7, turn over a couple of chapters. Hopefully you're still in Matthew chapter 5. Look over in chapter number 7. We're going to read verses 21 through 27 here real quick. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 27. The Bible tells us here, "Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which buildeth his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which buildeth his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." Let me leave you with one last would you rather question. Would you rather be wise or foolish? Not according to my standards, not according to your standards, but according to Jesus' standards. A disciple will desire Jesus. A Christian will go through the motions. They'll act like they're following him. A disciple sacrifices their daily agenda to what God would have you to do. But a Christian does what is best for themselves daily. A disciple builds their life upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ. A Christian, a person who's just simply a Christian, builds their life upon the sand. A disciple lives their life as salt, as light into the world, being a light and salt to the people who are around us each and every day who are dying and lost without Christ. But a Christian only looks the part. A disciple, yes, will receive God's blessing, and a Christian will live under the illusion that God should bless me regardless of what I choose. One of the beautiful things about Jesus is that he doesn't force you to choose him. He will never make you choose his way over your own if that's not what you want to do. Because if he forced us to do what he wanted us to do, there would be no love in that. And he desires our love more than anything. He lovingly and graciously paints a picture of following and says, would you rather go your way or my way? I want to challenge you to pray a courageous prayer here this morning. As of today, I want to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus. Let's pray and we'll have our invitation time. Dear Lord, we love you so very much. Lord, we so very often get stuck in this mindset of going to church, looking the part, without actually living for you on a daily basis. Lord, each and every one of us can do a little better about being a disciple of yours, being a true follower, an apprentice of who you are. Lord, I ask that you would help this church, Calvary Baptist Church here in Gaines, Michigan, to be a church full of disciples. Help us to live for you, to serve you, and to follow you each and every day that we live. Lord, our prayer today is that we want to be disciples, an apprentice of you. Help us to live for you this week, this month, this year, and for the rest of our lives. These things we pray in your precious and holy name. As the piano begins to play, maybe the Lord has spoken to you here this morning, and you want to become not just a Christian, not just somebody who claims to be a Christian, but you want to be somebody who is fully dedicated and surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now is the time to come forward, to lay that upon the feet of Jesus and tell him, Lord, I want to be a disciple. The altar's open. If that's you here this morning, or if you'd rather just pray there in your seat, that's okay too. God wants us to be disciples, to be apprentices of his. If the Lord has spoken to you this morning, the altar's open. Such a great decision for us to make. It's such a hard decision for us to make. Do we want to live a life of mediocrity, going our own way? Or do we want to receive the blessings that God can give when we choose to be a disciple and follow Him with our whole hearts? The choice is ours. He won't force us. He won't make us. Here this morning, I trust and I pray that you will make this decision in your heart to be a disciple of His. Play through one more verse here this morning. The Lord has spoken to your heart and you still want to come forward. I'll play through one more verse. Thank you. Amen, amen. I trust that the message was a blessing to you this morning. Please keep Pastor and Mrs. Cannaday in prayer as they're still on vacation. They should be coming back this week. So pray for them as they travel. Pray for them while they're there. Pastor Cannaday was actually preaching over at the church that they were at this morning. So trust that everything went well there as well. If there's anything that we can do for you here at Calvary Baptist Church, we'd love for you to get with us. Let us know if there's any way we can pray for you. If there's anything that we can do for you, we'd love to be a blessing to you. Y'all are dismissed. Hope you all have a wonderful day.